Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And the resurrection is still going to be celebrated this week. And so with the restrictions that are in place, we're going to be Facebook live streaming. And I want to encourage you to tune in. God gave me the message for Easter Sunday, probably back in August or September, something like that. And it's going to be titled Nailed It. Nailed It. And I want to invite you to tune in to Facebook Live. We've also created a YouTube channel that I don't know what the address is, but if you go and do a search for Merritt Assembly of God, you will find some of our programming up there. Now my daughter has been heading up our technology and bringing us up to speed there. But we're going to do our very best to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in as authentic manner as we can, especially given the circumstances where you're not supposed to have more than 10 people in attendance anyplace. So we actually have an overflow, and so we've got two different buildings, and so if a few more than 10 show up, we'll send a few over there. That's what's happened before. My wife was at church a couple of weeks ago, and an 11th person walked in the door. And even though we had announced that it was just going to be a live broadcast, we still had between the workers and a few people that showed up, we crossed that threshold. And so my wife said, "I'll just go over next door." And so she went over next door and watched it from there. So we are submitting to those in authority over us, and we're going to honor God. We're going to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. I want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need your air conditioner to be repaired here in the central part of Brevard County, you can give them a call. Listen, you're going to be spending a lot of time at home during the month of April. And so if you're having to work from home, you want to make sure that that unit is working properly. So if it is not, don't wait till the very last day and say, "I just can't take it anymore. I can't take it. I got to get the air conditioner fixed." Then you will have put yourself through a whole lot of heat stress, where you could just go ahead and call Creative AC Solutions at 321-759-3284. Have them come out, take care of it, and you can maintain your cool. Look, eliminate some stressors in your life. Eliminate the stressors that you can eliminate. And if that way, when you've eliminated what you can, then it makes it easier to handle the ones that remain. So 321-759-3284, Creative AC Solutions. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. So we're going to be on the air today. We will be on the air tomorrow. And then on Friday, we will broadcast our annual Good Friday message. And I was telling Paul, did you know that Good Friday is on Friday this year? And because my sense of humor is the same off the air as it is on the air, I want you to know the previous generation to me suffered from it, and the generation after me suffers from it. We all have the same sense of humor. And if you know my kids, you know this to be true. So 321-759-3284 for Creative AC Solutions. But we want to encourage you to make plans, to do your best. Listen, if you're going to be worshiping, your church is doing online service, I want to encourage you to do this. Get up the same time you normally do, maybe even a little earlier. Get yourself ready like you were going to church. put Facebook Live on the biggest screen that you've got. Turn the volume up to the appropriate level so everybody can hear, and attend church like you were there watching the pastor. Now for us, that's pretty simple. We've got one camera, one angle, and if you put it on a great big screen, you know, I might even be bigger on the screen than I am in person. But go and sing and worship the Lord. It's not going to be the same as all of us gathering together, but do your best to make it as normal a worship experience as you can. Invite the family and friends around to gather together and worship the Lord and enjoy the benefits of the resurrection, for we have all truly benefited from that. So those are just some tips. Also, if you are not able to attend, I want to encourage you to continue to support the church with your tithes and offerings faithfully, because it is what enables ministry to take place. Before I left town for my mother's funeral, there were people that were needing help. You know what? They don't go down to the local grocery store and say, you know, I don't have money for groceries. Can you give me groceries? They don't go other places. What they do is they come to the church. And so if we have people in our congregation that are needing help, we are more than glad to help them. If we know people who are having a legitimate need, we will try and help them. People who just come knocking on the door we've never heard of, never seen before, or anything like that, then we minister to them as we can. But we don't have the same systems in place for that. So just to give you a little bit of an idea of where our capabilities are. Let's go to Psalm 86 again this morning. Psalm 86. And verse number 6, it says, "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." Verse number 11, this is where we're going to start today. "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." Verse number 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." So let me go back and drop down to verse number 16, because as I was preparing before I came in, I felt like God dropped something in my spirit, and I wanted to share it with you, because a lot of times we are asking for signs and wonders. We're asking for the power of God to be on display. We like to walk in the authority that God has given to us. That was what we were studying on Wednesday nights before all of this shutdown happened. And so it is not out of the ordinary for Christians to pray, "God, give your strength to your servant." We like to walk in that same authority. Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." So we like to respond to God's authority and operate in God's authority, and that is wonderful. I believe that God still does miracles today. You say, "Well, how can you say that when your mother just passed away here recently?" And I will tell you this, that God moved mightily in her life on numerous occasions, and gave us extra time to be with her than what she might have had at other times in history or without God touching and healing her and raising her up. There were at least two times in the past 2 years where the doctors had said, wow, you came as close to dying as you could without succeeding. Even here within the past month or so from her passing away, the doctor had told her, we didn't know if you were going to pull through this time. So I don't look at her being promoted into the presence of Jesus as a defeat. I look at it as her crossing the finish line. So I posted on my Facebook page, my precious mom just ran into the arms of Jesus. I love you and I will see you soon. You know why? Because one of these days I'm going to run into the arms of Jesus, and that's not going to be a defeat. It is going to be a celebration. So we do like to celebrate the miracles, the great works of God. We like to proclaim the word with authority and see people healed and see people saved and see people filled with the Holy Spirit. That we like to see miracles take place and prayers get answered. We believe all of that stuff is still current for today's believers. But, and here's what I feel very, very strongly that God shared with me. If we try to operate in God's strength without God's character and God's process, we are set up for a bad outcome, not a good outcome. You see, God's strength is fantastic. It's a fantastic benefit for believers because of the character of God. There's a statement that says, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The only person that is not true of is God. And so anytime you see a person rise up as a dictator, you can look in Germany, you can look in places around the globe in our day and time, you can look at countries where right now, where there are dictators who rule with an iron fist. They have no problem killing the people that they are ruling over in order to maintain power. And they are the people are actually there to keep this politician in power, not the politician is in power to serve the people. It's flipped on its head. God's power is used in absolute perfection. Perfection in power, perfection in application, and perfect in morality. He functions in a manner that is not going to harm others to his benefit. It is going to benefit others because of who he is. So it is very important for us to pray in verse number 11, teach me your way, O Lord. I liken this to the passage in the book of Exodus where Moses is having a superpower summit with God. God being the superpower and Moses being, you know, a person that had a relationship with God like few others in his timeline. And he says, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And so you will get lots of songs about show me your glory. But if you go back and read, you will find that before that statement is made, that he says this, God, teach me your ways. We need to be operating in the lifestyle of God. We need to be operating with the process of God, with the heart of God. We need that in application in our life before the greatness of his power can be adequately displayed and we don't become arrogant or puffed up. We don't become high and mighty and begin to look down on other people. Listen, it is absolutely imperative that every man, woman, and child who names the name of Jesus go to the school of the Spirit, if you will, and say, God, teach me your way. The Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways. His wisdom is from heaven, not the wisdom from here on earth. His wisdom is superior. His virtue is unmatched. We need God to teach us how he wants us to live, teach us to have his heart so that we're moved with compassion the way that he's moved with compassion, so that we can operate in that strength. God is never going to equip you to such an extent that that equipping will destroy you. I've seen people operate with the gifts of God that didn't have the morality of God. They didn't have the nature of God, the character of God operating in them, and they flamed out. And you know what happens then? They do more damage to the kingdom than they did benefit to the kingdom. We can't afford any more shooting stars, if you will, that are here for a flash and then poof, they're gone. We don't need that. What we need are people who are the same day in and day out. They fall in love with Jesus, and they're going to be worshipers of Jesus on Sunday all the way through the next Sunday. They're never going to stop living like Jesus. So, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. So, that means that once God teaches us something, it is going to be a lifestyle from that point forward. God just doesn't impart information to us. He shares information so that we can apply it to our life and change the way that we live. So I am not one that just says, well, this is the way I've always been. It's the way my dad was, my grandfather was, and it's just going to the way we're always going to be. In the story of the redemption of the believer, I do not find that to be a valid excuse. Somebody needs to man up. Someone needs to woman up, and if you're a female, and say, you know what? We are going to break this chain. We're going to learn how God says we should do life, and then we're going to walk that way. You know, when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, they originally tried to do it the way of the Philistines. The cart began to wobble because the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand, and God struck him down. And David was very hurt, very upset, but the blessings continued to flow through the house of Obed-Edom, and David said, you know what? I'd better find out how God's word says we're supposed to transport that. They were transporting it the way the Philistines had, not this time. This time they said, oh, you know what? The priests are supposed to put rods through those holes in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. We kind of wondered what those were there for. And every six steps from that point forward, David said, wait a minute, stop. Nobody's died. We need to stop and celebrate and praise the Lord. And so the journey took a lot longer to Jerusalem, but it was an extensive celebration because David was walking the way that God had wanted it to be done. Now, his wife didn't like it, and that was her problem. Okay? If you do not like the way that the Word of God instructs believers to walk, I can't change the way that I walk just to make you happy. I'm going to continue to flesh out the Word of God to the best of my ability. When God shows me something, listen, there was a time when I was, things weren't going well for the church. And God showed me in Genesis chapters 29 through 30 and 31, he showed me about Leah and I preached this message called From Turmoil to Triumph, and how Leah was always looking for somebody else to treat her better. And she thought if she produced more kids that Joseph would like her better. And surely God has seen my suffering and heard my cry. But the time of that fourth child came, and she said, you know what? I can't change the way that my sister treats me. I can't change the way my dad treated me. I can't change the way my husband treats me. But I can change the way that I respond. And that the birth of that child, that fourth child, was a pivotal moment for Leah. And she named that child Judah and said, this time I'm going to praise the Lord. And I can preach that message without notes. I can preach it without even turning to that passage in the Bible, because God ministered something to me. He taught me his ways, and I've been walking that message out ever since. There are a number of other messages where God's given me revelation from the Word that wasn't just for passing a few words on and having words tickle somebody's ear for a little bit in church. They were lifestyle transforming messages for me and for a number of other people. It's really kind of funny how the memory banks work. I find it quite intriguing what people remember. My parents have said the same thing, because we remember something and they don't remember it. They remember things that we don't remember. And recently we were sharing stories, and a person shared a story that they remembered, but nobody else remembered. But it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It just means we didn't remember it. And so whatever strikes someone's memory is really quite intriguing. A person from my church remembers a message that I preached probably 23 years ago. And not just my message, he's got this amazing memory. We had a missionary that came back, who's been to our church a number of times whenever they were itinerating. And he said, oh, I remember you. You came and you preached this message. And the guy said, I don't even remember. I don't remember what I preached when I came here the last time, but he said, I have shared that message, so it must be the one. And you know, and it stuck in somebody's memory. It made an adjustment in their life. I will walk in your truth. Let me show you what verse number 11. Boy, we got a long ways here today. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart to fear your name. Most of the time, we have such divided attention, distractions, if you will, things that are going on. I was having a conversation with someone, and they said, well, with the social distancing and all now, you're probably not having to work as hard. And I said, well, not exactly. I'm having to work harder. I'm having to work harder. He said, well, how's that? And I said, well, you know, I'm having to figure out ways to have our Easter service in a manner that is going to impact people's lives. By the way, it's called Nailed It. We'll be doing that on Facebook Live on Sunday morning, April the 12th. 10:30, tune in on Facebook Live. We've got the license now where we can do our praise and worship online. And we have offering and all of that sort of stuff that is going on. But I've got a lot of other things that are demanding attention, you know, where I would touch base with people and find out, you know, how their week was going in person when they showed up for service. Now I have to be more intentional about that. So there's a lot of different things that are going on. So we need, you know, for me, let me just say this. For me, God dealt with me several weeks ago, a couple of months ago, about being more intentional about honoring him with my Sabbath rest. And Since that time, I have been much more deliberate about making sure that I get the time to rest so that I can fixate on giving God the glory and the praise that He deserves. Do you know that when they built the ark, they were functioning with one language and one purpose? And God said that because they functioned that way, nothing would be impossible for them. It was possible that they were going to achieve their goal. God, unfortunately, their goal was an ungodly goal, and God said, you know what, we need to set this back on the redemptive course that I want, not on the celebrity course that they wanted. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And so God came and scattered them. What would happen if all of God's people said, I want my heart to have one goal, and that is to reverence the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just for His name to be used in a declaration of shock and awe, of something that's over the top. Oh my, that's not what we're talking about. But every day we say, God, I want to walk in reverence to Your name. When we pray with reverence to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have some distractions that go on. It might be turmoil in your home. It might be the finances. It might be the news with the virus. Listen, sometimes you might just need to reach over and turn the channel off or hit the mute button and say, let's find something else that is going to instill faith in me instead of bolstering fear, phobic fear. Let's bolster our faith. Let's say, you know what, God, I want to lift up the name of Jesus. Did you know the Bible says that God has exalted His word and His name above all other things? If God's done that, I think that it would behoove us. There's a good Old Testament or a good King James language word. It would behoove us if we would do the same. Unite our hearts. Say, God, right now, I'm going to choose to revere You, to walk in awe of You. I'm going to set aside every other distraction, every problem, and I'm going to give You the praise and the glory that You deserve. I will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. Get ready. Good Friday's on the way. And then Sunday, we're going to be talking about Nailed It at Merit Assembly of God. Tune in on Facebook Live, and you can be a part of it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Yours is the name high above any other. Yours is the kingdom forever You reign. Yours is the power that lifted us out of the grave.
Hands up!
Yours is the heart that is beating inside us. Yours is the glory and all.